listener production.
Hello, Bension Siebert here with the briefing.
313 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
Simple dispatch is direct.
That's correct.
Give me no more traffic was stopped.
I can't get to the other side, so the bridge is down.
That was the moment the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed in the US city of Baltimore in the early hours of this morning. By now, you've probably seen the footage. The bridge in silhouette against bright lights at night as a massive container ship plows into one of the pylons holding it up. A large stretch of the 2.5 kilometer long bridge collapses as if in slow motion. Luckily, the crew of the ship were able to get a mayday call out to authorities in time to close the bridge to traffic shortly before impact. The Coast Guard and rescue crews have been on the scene, but six workers who were reportedly fixing potholes on the bridge when the container ship hit are presumed dead. Authorities are frantically investigating how this could have happened, and federal and state agencies from the FBI to the Coast Guard have been responding to the emergency. Here to help us understand what went so disastrously wrong and whether Australian authorities are doing enough to ensure something like this doesn't happen here is Colin Caprani, Chair of the Institute of Structural Engineers and Associate Professor at Monash University. Colin, thanks for joining us at such short notice. Why did this bridge collapse?
Oh, well, perhaps to state the obvious, a very big ship hit it. Should it collapse if a big ship hits it? You know, as bridge engineers, we would say no. We tried to design against this from happening.
Was it an avoidable disaster?
I think that's the key question, and I can't obviously preempt what the NTSB will come out. This report, I know, will take, you know, probably more than a year.
Sorry, that's the National Transport Safety Bureau?
Yes, it is. Yeah, so that they will investigate, and they investigate all transportation related incidents in the US. Mm-hmm. What I can say though is that we, as bridge engineers, strive to make sure that this doesn't happen. We have a lot of rules around how we design our bridges to protect against this from happening. This bridge was built in the 1970s. And the rules around ship impact really evolved in the 1980s following a different a collapse in Florida in 1980, as well as the 1975 collapse in the Tasman Bridge in Hobart. So there was quite a few incidents, another one in Sweden, around that time, and it precipitated a big change in the rigor of the regulations around ship collision design and protection against.
So obviously a big ship hit a pylon and that's why the bridge collapsed. But what was the weakness that meant that it collapsed rather than withstanding the force?
I think there's two answers here. One, the weakness is that the protection measures just didn't work, right? So maybe we can come back to that one. But given that the ship got to the pylon, the inherent weakness of the structure is that it did not have what we call redundancy. This is an alternative load path, an alternative way of carrying the load. When you remove one of these key supports, there is no other way for the bridge to stay up, and so it comes down. Is that common? Yes, it is. Look, many bridges have what are called single points of failure. And when we recognize a single point of failure, we very much try to protect against any damage or any collapse caused by the single point of failure. So there was two protection measures in place on this Francis Scott Key Bridge. The first is called a dolphin, and it is a piled concrete structure that sits about 100 meters either side of the pylon. The idea is that if a ship is headed for the pylon, that it hits this dolphin, this sacrificial structure, which absorbs the energy, redirects the ship, prevents the ship from getting to the pylon. So that's the first layer of protection. This ship, in this instance, did not hit the dolphin. So, you know, take from that what you will. The second layer of protection that was in place on this bridge is called a fender. And this is very much like the bumper on your car. It's an energy absorption device around the base of the pylon. This fender for the Francis Scott Bridge is made from reinforced concrete and timber, and it sits just above the waterline and is designed to take those impacts that actually from smaller vessels, right? Because it's presumed that the bigger ships would have hit the Dolphin first, right? So this ship seemed to avoid the Dolphin, did impact the fender. In the video that we have all been shocked by, you can see that there's a cloud just before the bridge comes down. You can see a cloud coming. To me, that is the explosion of the fender as the ship has hit the fender. The fender did, disintegrate, but clearly it was insufficient to absorb the energy from this massive, massive ship.
We know that some construction workers who were working on potholes on the bridge are still missing. Sadly, one body has been recovered as we record this interview. Should there be some kind of emergency exit strategy or some way of getting people off the bridge quickly in this kind of scenario? Or is the solution that we just need to build bridges that can take this kind of impact?
Well, I did hear that the ship emitted a mayday call and did communicate with bridge operators saying that it was out of control to close traffic on the bridge. And, you know, I'm very hopeful that this measure did at least reduce the number of lives that have been impacted by this terrible event. Should we design all bridges against this? We do, or at least we try to. We try to envisage what are likely scenarios. We conduct quite elaborate risk assessments. We look at the probability of a ship getting out of control. We look at the probability of the ship being on track to hit the pylon. We look at the probability that the ship is big enough then to collapse the defense mechanisms. When you combine all of these probabilities, this is a one in a million event. It's an extraordinarily rare combination of circumstances.
You mentioned the 1975 crash of the Tasman Bridge in Hobart. Are there other bridges that are in the way, I suppose, of potentially large ships in ports in Australia that could be at risk of this kind of disaster? Or are we better designing our waterways so that this really can't happen?
Well, firstly, there are very few large bridges near navigable waterways around Australia. So that is some good news. I think the lesson from this terrible event is that we should check that the protection measures that are on these bridges are correct for the types of vessels that are now on the waterways. And I say this because looking at the protection measures on the Francis Scott Bridge, they seem disproportionate to the magnitude, the size of the vessels that are on this waterway now. The protection measures were designed in the 70s for the vessels of the 70s. Since then, vessels have gotten so much bigger and they travel faster. So the impact forces are even higher. Are we evolving the protection measures alongside any evolution in the ships that our bridges may be exposed to?
You mentioned that there aren't many bridges in Australia that are exposed to navigable waterways where this kind of thing could happen, but not zero. Mm. Do you think that there needs to be some kind of formal review in the wake of this disaster of Australia's preparedness for this potential issue?
No, I don't think there is an urgent need for a formal review. I do know that bridge owners every day are managing their assets. They have bridge inspectors going out and inspecting and making sure the bridges aren't deteriorating, that the condition of the bridge is still good and still safe. I also know that where they discover a defect, an emerging defect, they will maybe strengthen the bridge or they might reduce the load limit on the bridge. So our bridges are being managed quite well. What I would say, though, is that we need to be vigilant on this And it's tempting to cut maintenance budgets. It's tempting to say, look, our bridges are fine. They have been fine for the last 10 or 20 years. But this rear view mirror approach isn't a good indicator of what's going to happen in the next 5 years or the next 10 years. So we need to be vigilant. We can't rest easy. We need to look at the events from this and from other events around the world and absorb those lessons and bring them forward as we manage our bridges.
It's an important message, I suppose, for the governments around Australia. Colin, thanks so much for your time this morning.
You're very welcome.
Colin Caprani there. That's it for the briefing today. But before we go, I have a couple of favours to ask. First, if you like what we do here at The Briefing, tell your friends about the podcast. Secondly, we're in the middle of a special investigation into Australia's online medical certificates industry. If you've received a doctor's note online, we want to hear from you. Send us a DM on Instagram by searching The Briefing Podcast. And check your feed again from 6 tomorrow for your morning episode of The Briefing. I'm Ben Sion-Siebert. Catch you next time.